For a lot of people in Wisconsin, this warmer weather means camping trips, weekend hiking, long bike trips, running, getting out on the lakes, and of course, kayaking. With all of this outdoor recreation can come some damage to the natural places and spaces we love. What do you do to make sure you're being environmentally conscious while having your outdoor fun? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have some advice, tips, maybe even brands or products to recommend that you love because of their care for the environment? And what do you do to leave an outdoor space in the condition you found it in? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Liz Wessel is the chair of membership and fundraising committees for Wisconsin Sierra Club John Muir chapter. Liz, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, good afternoon, Rob.
Well, first let's talk about the mindset of getting outdoors and being, I guess, kind of eco-conscious, keeping the green thinking in mind. How should we be thinking as we go out for our camping or hiking or whatever?
Yeah, I'm a big hiker, so, and my husband and I are big picnickers, so we go out quite a bit in the summer. And, you know, part of the reason we all go outside is because we enjoy being in those landscapes or in those places. So I think it starts with you're out there to enjoy the natural world where you're going. And so you want to think about that and respect that when you get there.
How can our outdoor recreation be hard on the local environment?
It's pretty easy to see sometimes. So one of the things I had been thinking about, what bugs me the most when I'm out there, what I see, and one thing for sure is staying on the trails. A lot of people say travel and camp on durable surfaces. You'll hear that. Basically what they're saying is stay on the trail. Trails have been designed specifically to go through the landscape with the least amount of impact, and it really bothers me when I see people who have cut, you know, between the trail and they create a whole thing. You could be damaging, you know, species, plants, animals, but it also creates erosion, and that's just not good for the whole landscape or for the next people who come along. So we all want to see a nice landscape and a good, clean trail. So that would be a start for me.
And a lot of outdoor recreation involves bringing some form of stuff, including food and other items. What kind of things can we think about as we're shopping and gearing up for a trip?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the motto there is pack it in, pack it out. And I like to think we bring a lot of fresh food now. People are really into eating better. And if you want to bring that fruit, and my husband and I have this conversation all the time, but don't throw the banana peel or the orange peels out because they just don't decompose. And for the next person who comes along, it's really garbage. You know, it doesn't belong in the Wisconsin landscape. You know, those are tropical fruits. They don't belong here. So you really want to think about what belongs in the landscape and what doesn't. And that could be whether you're paddling or whether you're hiking or wherever you are. Pack it in, pack it out. I was also thinking about snacks, and just recently I was making, for our fundraiser, I tried out a granola bar recipe, and I did a test batch. And what I did was I cut up those bars, put them into baggies, small-sized baggies, put them in the freezer, and now I've got baggies of granola bars that I can pull out at a moment's notice. If we, for some reason, it's a beautiful evening and we want to go for a hike on the Ice Age Trail, I can just grab those and ready to go, and there's no wrappers.
Talk us through that recipe a little bit. I know it's Food Friday tomorrow here on Central Time. You can give us a little taste of this granola bar recipe.
It's an awesome recipe I found. Some people may remember Molly Katzen, who wrote the Moosewood Cookbook. And she made it's in one of her other books, and it's a breakfast cookie bar. And it's amazing. It had apple juice and some other things, not a lot of sugar in it, but it was oats and wheat germ and just a lot of cinnamon, which I like. So it was a really, really nice recipe. And it's not super crunchy or dry, but just right for eating along the way. And my husband and I have been eating up the batch, as you say. But it's, you know, just keep looking around for things like that. But anyway, that one was a good one. It's called the Breakfast Cookie Bar, and it's in, I can't remember which one of her cookbooks.
Well, yeah, when I was reading tips online, a lot of people are like, yeah, for the sporting outdoors people, there are a lot of single-serving packaged goo things and bar things out there. And, yeah, even if you do pack in and pack out, maybe that's more waste than you need when you go out to the wilderness.
Yeah, and here's another thought for food. I have a dehydrator, and I make my own fruit roll-ups. But you can make all sorts of roll-ups. And a lot of people are getting into drying and preserving food now. So that's probably a lot more available to people. But you can make those roll-ups. They keep in the refrigerator for a long time and then bring them with you when you go on it. And a little bite of raspberry fruit roll-up does wonders when you're slowing down on the trail.
Talking to Liz Wessel from Wisconsin's Sierra Club, John Muir chapter, talking about protecting the environment while we're out enjoying it, whether we're hiking, doing an outdoor sport, paddling, you name it. And still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234 if you want to give advice or get advice. Do you have tips on keeping the environment protected while you're out in it, camping or whatever you like to do outside? What kind of things do you do? Who taught you that mentality of green, friendly outdoor recreation? Or if you have questions, need some advice from Liz, you can also call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Liz Wessel stays with us from the Sierra Club John Muir chapter. We're talking about enjoying Wisconsin's outdoors, camping, recreating, paddling, running, you name it, and protecting the local environment while we're at it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do to make sure you pack in, or pack out, I should say, what you pack in? Have you made your own forms of outdoor snack food that maybe use a little less packaging? Are you careful to try not to spread invasive species while you're out and about? Have you observed behavior that isn't so friendly to the environment? Or do you need some advice from Liz? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Liz, I mentioned invasive species there, and there's definitely a lot of tips involving things like firewood or little shoe scrapers at a lot of places. What kind of things can we do when we're out there to not spread stuff that's not supposed to be there?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I was actually just thinking about that with firewood. I mean, there's a couple things, fires and firewood, but on firewood, because Wisconsin is in a quarantine, the entire state, for emerald ash borer, you really should not be carrying wood from one place to another. Buy your wood locally wherever you end up for your campfire. And then on campfires and fires, you know, one of the other things that bothers me when I'm out there is brand new fire rings when there's already a really good one that exists. So don't create new ones. Use what's there. And there are some great tips for how to build a fire and leave no trace. And then when you're in, you know, a campsite, take care of the fire pit that's there. I remember my husband and I arrived one time, and we did a little cleaning action. People were trying to burn things that really don't burn. So separate out what you're doing. Don't burn your plastic garbage. Your aluminum doesn't burn. You know, think about what's going in your fire and enjoy it. You don't want things that are in there that are going to create hazardous gases or things like that. So careful on the firewood. And then the other thing on invasive species is remember where there are signs in particular, they talk about brushing off your feet, your boots, at certain trailheads and stuff, just so you're not spreading the seeds or invasive species around. And that's true for boating. Most people who boat know that when you come into the landing, you need to be careful not to spread zebra mussels and other people hitchhiking on your boat that want to go to the next lake. So there definitely are things that we can do, and most of them are pretty well marked at those locations.
Now, I've seen advice, getting back to those fires, you know, it seems natural to gather up local brush and wood branches lying around in the ground. I've seen people suggesting maybe don't do that because some species rely on that sort of fallen wood as a habitat.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of ways of thinking about it. I think it's better, though, If you are out in the backwoods, you're not going to obviously carry firewood with you. So you're definitely going to be wanting to pick up stuff that's already dead on the ground. I have seen people go in with hatchets, and I always wonder about that because burning green wood isn't particularly great. But, you know, in a campground, I'd rather buy the local wood from the campfire people rather than pick up, because it's true. Part of the natural process of a forest or any place you go is the decay and the turnover and the life cycle of all those natural objects in that landscape. So, again, you're respecting the landscape as it is. And if you have that choice and it's accessible, why not? Why not use that campfire wood?
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Barante is with us in Bayfield. Barante, hi.
Hey, Rob and Liz. So I'm an outdoor educational professional, and Liz, you've been talking a lot about leave no trace ethics, like travel and camp on durable surfaces. And I kind of have a problem with leave no trace because it takes humans kind of out of the natural equation. It says you don't belong here, and also it creates this systemic problem of not in my backyardism, which, you know, people are like, oh, so I can't have a campfire or I need ultralight gear, and so they buy really unsustainable products and bring them out and say, okay, well, I'm good now because I'm not kind of breaking twigs. I'm wondering what you think of that.
Bronte, thanks for the call. So the maybe the gear we pack in doesn't have an effect on the place we're, say, camping, but he's saying, well, what about what it took to make that stuff, Liz?
Well, I think, and he's also pointing out that the leave no trace, you know, I think it really depends on your circumstances and where you are. If we're talking about day trips and things like that, I think most of the areas we're going to are pretty well used, our state parks, our trails and stuff, and I think there's a lot of use that's already there. So it's not like it's a pristine environment where some of the higher principles of leave no trace, where you really can, and I've been in some of those areas where it's dispersed camping and there really are no established campsites, and the idea is to leave the lightest footprint that you can. I'm not an extremist about it. And I certainly enjoy foraging, which is another reason why you bring the extra bag in your day pack, one for garbage and one for foraging. And in those circumstances, you are going to be, you know, breaking some twigs. You're going to be getting into the berry bush. But you know what? That's okay. Most of our public lands allow for foraging. And I think it's a really good way for people to bond with what's out on the land, to find, you know, the mushrooms and the berries and things like that. So I don't think I'm going down that road of, like, don't touch the land at all. And, Rob, your point was slightly different. Can you repeat that?
Well, he had mentioned if you're bringing that lighter weight gear, the alternate cooking materials,
right,
he was worried that the production of those has wider ecological implications.
Well, I also think, yeah, people who want to go that far should really think through the life cycle analysis and make their own judgments. I'm not going to be the one to tell them on that. But I also think, you know, a lot of people can't afford a lot of stuff. And so the idea here is to be sensible and to think about what experience you're having, and then how do you respect the experience of the next person behind you. It's pretty common sense stuff, and so I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to go out and buy all the gear. I must admit, though, I was going to say something about insects, and one of the places where it starts is with clothing. The one piece of clothing that I did buy that I really, really use a lot is I bought a lightweight pair of long hiking pants, and I absolutely love them. I wear them all the time. And, you know, they have ties at the bottom. So I'm somewhat sensitive to mosquitoes, so I really don't want them biting me. And I will go so far as to wear long pants in the summer sometimes. So that's That's my piece of gear that I think is essential.
We've also talked about ticks and mosquitoes on the show today, Liz. So, yeah, those hiking pants sound pretty good, actually. So what are some other – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say along those lines, if and a lot of us do – if you get to the point where you need pesticides or insecticides to protect yourself, and there's some health reasons now, I would say, one, don't buy aerosols. Aerosols spread the insecticide way beyond where you want it. So a pump spray, you put it on your hand, and you put it where you want it. We've all been in those places or at a party or something, and somebody's just spraying sunscreen or a pesticide, and you're just choking on it. That's exactly the point. It gets put into the air. We all breathe it in, and it goes places where it's not supposed to be. And some of those can be very hazardous for some of the natural environment. So the plant, the insect, well, some of the insects, but the fish in particular, some of the insecticides are bad for them.
In our last couple of minutes, Liz, any tips you want to share that we haven't gotten into yet?
Well, I'm just looking through here. I wanted to talk a little bit about picnicking. I said at the beginning, my husband and I do a lot of that. We actually kind of live with a picnic basket in the summer, almost ready to go, and there's a lot of ways you can save on disposables. Our picnic basket generally has, some cloth napkins in it, a dish towel, a small cutting board, a garbage bag, and some silverware. And we usually bring an extra sturdy garbage bag, from a grocery store where we just throw our dirty dishes in when we're done. But that's just kind of standard for us. It's in the kitchen area in the summer, and, at a last minute, if it's a beautiful evening, we'll just grab that and go to a park or go out on the Ice Age Trail or some other place that we really like. So really good idea to think about. You can do picnics and other things with a lot of reusables. And we have a lot of, tablecloths and things like that that we have around. So
we'll leave it there for now. Liz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for covering this topic.
That's Liz Wessel, Chair of Membership and Fundraising Committees for Wisconsin's Sierra Club John Muir Chapter. She joined us to talk about being environmentally conscious in the outdoors this summer. I love that, having the cutting board and silverware handy, because being in Wisconsin, we're going to Devil's Lake or whatever. We got a block of cheese. And then what do you do? You break it off. You all take turns gnawing at the cheese. I love just keeping that cutting board always at the ready.